one recording there, and then I just need to go onto here and start this recording here. There we go.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Welcome along to It Is What It Is. My name's Darren Harper, and joining us as ever is the former England, Leeds United, Sheffield Wednesday, West Brom player, and that's Carlton Palmer. Hi, Carlton, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good morning. I'm in Corsica this morning. We've just docked in Corsica. I've never been here before, but I'm told it's a beautiful place. So after this, we'll be going off exploring.
You're on a bit of a cruise. So what ports have you been in so far, and where are you off to next?
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. It's the first time I've ever done one with a company called Seabourn, and it's absolutely fantastic. So we started off in Barcelona. We've been Saint-Tropez. We've been Mahan, and I forget where we were yesterday. Where were we yesterday? It was beautiful. Saint-Tropez we were yesterday. So yeah, it's been really, really good, and it's a great way to see parts of Europe or parts of the world. You wake up and you're in a different place. It's fantastic. Honestly, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I am a little bit jealous. I mean, the weather's still good over here, but it would be nice to be on a bit of a holiday right now. Lots to talk about as ever, Carlton. Let's start then with the World Cup. It's all done now, Carlton. I'm not sure what we're going to do with our days and nights, but we've only got 2 weeks to go till the start of the football season. What were your thoughts on the final, France against Croatia? There were some controversial moments in it, but France, eventual winners, they were the best team during the tournament, I think, really.
Yeah, I mean, there was obviously the penalty, and there was a few decisions that didn't quite go Croatia's way. But I don't think anybody can complain. At the end of the day, I think France were the best team and worthy winners of the tournament.
Yeah, heartily agree with that. What were your thoughts on the tournament as a whole? Russia itself, they seem to be great hosts. Everybody's really, really talked up how they've done the tournament. I was quite jealous of not being over there now.
Well, I mean, like there was all that talk before the World Cup about travelling to Russia, racism, all these different things that people. Well. Let's be honest about it, that our media were making out and so it wasn't safe to travel and take families. But everybody I've spoken to, the black players who've been out there and the black lads who've been out there working media, they said the Russian people couldn't be friendly enough. Everybody who've spoken to have said they had a fantastic time out there. It was a well-run tournament, and credit to Russia. It was let me say, it's one of the best World Cups in terms of, you know, I won't say in terms of quality, but it was the best World Cup because it was so open. So, yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. It was, a lot of goals. Sorry about that. Somebody's helicopter must be coming onto their private boat. My apologies about that. But no, it was a well-run tournament. I think it was an open tournament, and it was there for anybody to really have a go and try and win it. So, yeah, I mean, we've seen, you know, some great play. Modric, I thought, was brilliant for Croatia. You know, the young boy of France, the quick lad, it looks like he could be the next superstar of world football. So, yeah, and for England, a lot of positives.
Yeah, a lot of positives for England. The future does look pretty bright, really, because they were the youngest team going into the tournament, the most inexperienced team going into the tournament. They come out of it after getting to a semi-final. I think most people are pretty happy with that and quite excited about what the future holds now for England.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can get too carried away. I think it was a fantastic tournament. For England, it's just what the country needed, a boost, and, you know, 28 years getting a semi-final. But you have to look at the fact that we did have the better half of the draw, and it did open up. And, you know, as I said to you, Darren, before we the World Cup started, I fancied them quarter-finals, semi-finals. And I'm a little bit disappointed. I mean, now we should celebrate the fact that they've done well. But we've also got to look at where we need to improve. And we said before the tournament we were worried about the goalkeeper and defensively. The goalkeeper turned out to be sensational. But when we look at the back three in Maguire, Stones and Walker in the one game, and it was really the only game that they were tested defensively, they were poor. And facts are, Kyle Walker is a wing-back, not a centre-back, and he's played there because they want to use his pace. Stones hasn't played half the season for Man City because he's not a good enough defender. I haven't seen or heard a lot about the boy Maguire. But having done some research now, we have played three centre-backs in the World Cup who don't feature in the top 10 best central defenders in the Premier League. So how is that possible now that Cahill, Smalling and Jones, who feature in the top five central defender in stats last season, in blocks, in clean sheets and whatever, don't figure? Now, I understand Gareth Southgate wants three players who are comfortable on the ball who can step out and play. I get that, but bottom line is defenders have to defend. And if you look at the French team, the French team came through because of their defensive back four. They weren't the best on the ball. The two central defenders were not the best on the ball in the tournament, but they won it because they could defend. We conceded a goal against Croatia that any other central defender playing there would have come on and headed the ball. But because Kyle's a natural right back, and I'm being honest, Kyle features in the top three fullbacks in the Premier League. But he's not a central defender. And then Stones, he conceded a similar goal against Wigan in the FA Cup, which is in the Championship, of somebody running down the side of him, not being aware. So I think we've got to, yes, encourage our central defenders to play on the ball, but they've got to defend. You know, Des Walker, Terry Butcher, Paul Parker, when they went to a three, Mark Wright, when they went to a three, in 1990, Italia, 1990, right? They were quick and they could defend. So we've got to encourage our defenders to be able to be comfortable on the ball and play. But bottom line is, they've got to be able to defend. And had we had, I think had Smalling, Jones and Cahill played as a three, I think we'd be in the final now.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's interesting to look back on it and just sort of wonder if there were some sort of tweaks at the back, because we did look a little bit shaky in defence. It's also interesting to have a look at the team of the tournament, because there's a couple of English players that have featured in the World Cup, the FIFA World Cup team of the tournament. This is it from front to back. From back to front. Lloris, Trippier, Varane, Lovren, Young, Paulinho, Modric, Neymar, Mbappe, Griezmann and Hazard. I suppose the surprise is in there. Ashley Young, I thought he had a really good tournament, but is he in the World Cup team of the year? I don't know. And there's no Kevin De Bruyne in that team and no Golden Boot winner Harry Kane.
Well, I've got to be honest with you, I thought Ashley Young had a fantastic tournament. If you're looking at left fullbacks, did anybody really play that better than Ashley Young in the tournament? I don't think so. So I think that's deserved. Trippier, fantastic. Had to be in there. For me, Harry Kane scored the goals, would have expected to score the goals that he should have done. Had he scored the goal against Croatia that he should have done, I'm sure he would have been in there. But in terms of the tournament, in terms of his link-up play, against Croatia, he was non-existent. He was dropping into that area. I wouldn't have picked him in there. You can't just put him in there because he's a Golden Boot winner. It's everything all in one in his overall performances. And I thought, and don't get me wrong, I've played with players like that. And as a striker, your job is to score goals. That's as simple as it is. And if you score the goals, like say in the course of a season, you score 25, 30 goals and your link-up play is not that particularly great, then on you go. But England needed a little bit more from him especially against Croatia, they needed a little bit more from him in the game and they didn't get it. So I'm not surprised at all that he's not in the team.
Are you surprised about Neymar being in there? Because I don't think he had a particularly good tournament at all, really.
I'm surprised at that. I'm with you on that, Darren. De Bruyne, for me, would have been in there. Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised at that one. I really am.
Moving on to more domestic matters. We've got a little while to wait before we get to see England again. And, of course, at Leeds United, it's pre-season. They started their pre-season last night against Forest Green Rovers. A 2-1 win last night with Ruford Ayling scoring against Forest Green. First time we've seen Marcelo Bielsa in charge of Leeds United. But a lot of fans still a little bit upset that there's not really been any signings. They've signed a couple of players on loan from Chelsea. But apart from that, not much else going on.
Yeah, I mean, you thought with them bringing De Bielsa in, you thought that there was going to be a lot of movement in the transfer market. And for me, if that's how he's going to be able to play the style of football that he wants to play. I just don't see it because they haven't got the players to play the way he normally plays. He plays, his teams generally play the same way as Pep Guardiola's teams play. Play high line, play high tempo, a lot of possession football. Well, you've got to have good, you have really good players to play at that level. So, you know, like I said, this could be either very short-lived with De Bielsa or he's going, I mean, Rumour has it, he's a very, very good coach, a very good coach. So whether they believe that they have the players there, that he can get them in a system that can play and get results, we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think the frustration from fans is that, you know, we've lots has been happening in all other clubs, and you can see all other clubs sort of getting people and players signed. But once again, Leeds United seem to leave things just a little bit late, really, and with only two players. They've shipped out a lot of players in the last few weeks, but they've not brought anyone in. And I think fans just get restless, don't they?
Well, they do, but having been a manager, I mean, it's sometimes very difficult. When the chairman and the manager can't actually come out and tell the truth of what's going on. Because obviously you've got sponsors and, you know, you've got people who pay a lot of money. So they can't actually come out and say the truth. You know, I knew, you know, when I was at Stockport County, we had a wage bill, the books had to be balanced when I went in there. So I wasn't able to do a lot in the transfer market to start off with. Books had to be balanced. So we don't really know, you know, it's a new owner that's coming to Leeds United again. We don't really know what the situation is. I know there was a lot of players at Leeds United earning decent money who weren't doing well enough. So maybe he said to De Bielsa, listen, give me 6 months, you know, let's balance the books out, get out these players, you know, on this type of wages, and then we'll look to invest. I mean, I've got to be honest with you, the Championship, although it's a tough league to get out of, it's not a hard league to get out of. When I say a tough league, I mean it's physically demanding. But if you get a group of lads together that are fit, who work to a system, and, you know, they can give you, you know, you can get sort of 35, 36 games out of them for the season, and they're physically fit, you can get out of that league. I mean, Burnley proved it, you know, not a particularly blessed technical squad, but they were fit, they were robust, and they could play week in and week out. So we'll have to see. Maybe De Bielsa feels that what he's got is good enough for them to make a challenge next season.
Let's hope so. I mean, the obviously a lot of people are talking about Bielsa and the sort of formation and the sort of way he's going to set the team up. And of course, he was using all the players pretty much that were there last season. He went for something that looked a little bit like a 4-1-4-1 formation. It's an interesting way, but the players seem to adapt to it. And the good news is, obviously, he's only using players that are there already.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way he plays. He plays a very attack-minded formation. As I said, you'll see very similar in a lot of ways to our Man City play. And now Pep Guardiola sets his teams out. I mean, Pep will tell you himself, he took a lot of how he plays from the current Leeds United manager. So they will play attacking football, and they will try and go at teams. So we'll have to see. I mean, you know, the players, they have some decent players at the club. I believe they've got some very good young players at the club. And, you know, you have to give these players the opportunity.
Yeah, you certainly do. I suppose realistically, when you look at Leeds United this upcoming season, it's got to be promotion, what they've got to achieve this season. Otherwise, you sort of wonder whether or not the owner, the chairman, are going to stick around, because it sounds like from the murmurings that you get from sort of like Elland Road that they really are desperate to get up into that Premier League. The fans are obviously desperate, but you wonder if Andrea Reggiani, this is just like his last hurrah to try and get them up there.
Well, I would think so. I mean, you're looking at Leeds United, average attendance of 33,000. It's a massive club. You know, I would think that the objective and the only objective for Leeds United is to go up. So I'm assuming that if they're in the playoffs or around that come Christmas, the chairman then will get his hand in his pocket and bring in the players that's needed to give them a final push to go up. But the ultimate target for Leeds United is to be back in the Premier League after this season.
Carlton, I'm going to let you enjoy your day in Corsica, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. Have a good day, and I'll speak to you next week.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.